Body and welcome to
Good morning.
Resurrection Sunday edition
Amen.
Of
Amen.
The adult discussion Bible group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. We just love to get together and talk about the Lord.
Yes.
Let's just do that today.
Amen.
Let's see. Buddy, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Father, we just thank you for this beautiful resurrection morning, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We thank you for your sacrifice, Father, for you gave your only begotten Son. You let him go to the cross for our sins, Father. We just give you all praise, all glory for your love, Father,
yes.
Your immense love. Father, we ask that you bless everyone this morning that are here and touch everyone that needs your healing touch, Father. And we just ask that you just bless your children all over this earth, Father, no matter where they are. Father, give you all praise, all glory, and all honor.
Yes, Father.
May both services praise your holy name. Bless your holy name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is Resurrection Sunday, and I was thinking maybe we take a little shortcut over to in Matthew where it talks about Resurrection Sunday, just because to understand who our Lord is and how much more there is than what we see on this firmament and what we know. I was thinking this morning, there's something so beautiful about the spring. After all that dreariness of winter and everything, and I get in the car and I'm coming down here, and everything is green, and the tulips and the daffodils and the buds on the trees and the blue skies, and I'm just so, I have been, it gives me such a hope and it gives me such joy. And you know what I think about that? When that came to me, I thought, and this is all that I am truly capable of seeing with my physical eyes. And yet the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that our God has prepared for those who love him. And when I think of how beautiful what I can see is, I hate to even try to visualize how beautiful the things that I can't see are. We will see when we see him as he is, we're going to be just like him. And then we'll be able to see every man as he sees Jesus. So I want to go to Matthew, but now I can't remember where it is. 28? Matthew 28, okay. Well, let's read a little bit out of there. Would you like to do it, Brenda?
No, it's your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you want to start one?
Right at verse 1. Is that the one where Mary and Martha go to the tomb in the morning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Reading from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, where an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the boulder back and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his garments as white as snow. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and they trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Is he not here? He has risen, as he said he would do. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is coming before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they left the tomb hastily with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. As they went, behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail, greetings." And they went up to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be alarmed and afraid. Go and tell my brother to go into Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were on their way, behold, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had occurred. And when they, the chief priests, had gathered with the elders and had consulted together, they gave a significant sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if the governor hears of it, we will appease him and make you safe and free from trouble and care." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been current among the Jews to the present day.
Okay, let's stop right there just for a second. I like to go back and it says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Do you think that was Mary, the mother of Jesus? Okay, so they went to see the sepulcher. And there was a great earthquake. You know, there was a great earthquake. Five words, and you can read them and go right on, and it goes in your ears but not into your heart. There was a great earthquake, guys. Boom! You know, the skies opened up. Can you just imagine what that was like? There was a great earthquake. And for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Okay. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Can you imagine? Okay, there's a great earthquake and here is this bright, shining being rolled the door away and sitting there. Oh, you know, just another day in the valley. You know, I can't imagine why there's not more said about that in the scriptures and all. You know, it's just overwhelming to my heart to hear that. Wow, that's big stuff. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. Now, angels, the only lightning and the countenance white, the only glory that they have is the glory that they get from God. They're more like us. They are a mirror of his glory. Jesus is the glory of God, you know? And so this angel, through the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit that is in us all and in them all, that bright and shining countenance, oh my gosh. This whole thing kind of overwhelmed me this morning. I was thinking, why haven't there been billions of books written about this? Why isn't it, I mean, more than just, you know, two or three paragraphs in the New Testament of the Bible? But I imagine that you're going to say more about that from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Who knows, you know? Okay. And for fear of him, the keepers, those were the guys that were sent there to guard the body, they shake and became as dead men. I'd say they would. I would. My fear would overcome me, and I would say, oh my gosh, what am I going to tell my boss about that? And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye." Why? Because I know that you seek Jesus. They didn't come there to guard. They didn't come there to start lies. They didn't come there. They came there because they were seeking Jesus. And that's why we come. Everything that we do in this life, whether we, you know, understand it or not, it is because that search for Jesus, and God has been placed within us, and we can do nothing else but to seek Jesus. That is what we've been put here for. He said, you don't have to fear anything, because I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I think that is just so cool. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, where you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Well, I think that is so neat. Anybody got anything on any of that? I just, it overwhelmed my soul when I read it today.
Well, each one of the disciples, Mark and Luke, also talk about it. But Luke says there was two men.
It says two angels?
It says this is Luke. They said the women. It didn't say who they were, but the others. Everybody has their perception, you know, of it and what they know of it. And they mentioned it, and the stone was rolled away. And they went inside and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them, and as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you look for the living among those who are dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be given over to the hands of the sinful men whose nature is active opposition to God, to be crucified, and then on the third day will rise from death. And they remembered his words, and as having returned from the tomb, they reported all of these things to the apostles. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Joanna is Jesus' sister, and she, I'm asking it. Joanna, Jesus' sister.
Who, what was her name?
Joanna. It says now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, which is the mother of Jesus.
Yes.
But it says of James, reported these things to the apostles. Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, and behold, the very day two of the disciples were going to a village. This is when they were on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
And he joined in, began walking with him, and just took the scriptures, took the word from Old Testament to present. And they didn't realize until they stopped to eat. And he broke the bread, and their eyes were opened, you know, and they realized that they were with the Master. And they ran all the way back, and they said, didn't, you know, like, it's like the spirit of, like, burned within us as he had shared all of this on the road to Emmaus.
What do you think about this? It's just, just following the calendar, counting Jesus' years, was the first day, because 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. On the first day, and then the second day was at the year 1,000, and the third day began on the year 2,000. And so this is the third, this is the actual 1,000 years. This is the actual third day, the 3,000 of, not of the resurrection of the Lord, but where he was raised up from the dead. And didn't it say in Hosea, after 2 days he will revise us, and on the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight? I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, I know that we've had 25 other Easter Sundays, but for some reason, I just feel like the Easter Sunday of this year is considered, because he was like, they say he was like 30 years old when he died. And I remember years ago, I read this book by Jim Bishop, where it said the counting of the days were kind of wrong, and he was probably born in like 5 BC or 6 BC. We don't know, but we know that he was an early 30s, and maybe he was born ago. This could be the actual 2000th anniversary of that day. And if a day is, and I know that's just like pulling at straws, but I feel there's something very special about this Easter Sunday and of the promises that we've heard and claim about the third day.
Well, I do have something to say about that.
Okay.
It's 2,000 years basically from the day of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The third day starts in our time at 12:01. It's, you understand? That's when the new day actually dawns.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in a position for quite a while, I believe, where we were in the second day, and you know, the third day has dawned.
Yes.
You know, and you know, the number three is the number for resurrection and divine completeness and all that type thing. I will actually talk about that a little bit in my sermon. But you know, three is a very significant number. Jesus told them at one time, he said, go, they asked who he was, and he said, go tell that old fox Herod that I do cures and healings and all this kind of stuff, and in the third day I'll be perfected. And we know that he rose on the third day, you know, because he was crucified, you know, on a Friday, and he rose on a Monday, well, a Sunday, which is actually the beginning of a new week. You know, the Sabbath is actually on a Saturday. They didn't go to the tomb on Saturday because they thought they were still under the law, so they weren't supposed to do any work or do anything. They actually came to the tomb to prepare his body, to you know, fix him up for his death, because they couldn't do it on the second day because the second day was the Sabbath, you know. So when you come to realize the significance of the threes, and we'll get into that a little bit in my sermon today too. You'll even see it in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. Today I'm going to try to talk about the Old Testament scriptures that told us about Jesus, and actually they had ears to understand, because they knew what the words meant and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. They knew what all that stuff meant. We didn't know that mm-hmm. unless we studied to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know. But they knew the language. They knew what things meant.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they didn't have eyes to see it.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, it's kind of interesting because the way that Matthew puts this, at the end of the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that's, they were still following the law. When they came to the tomb, they waited.
Well, they had to wait.
Yes.
Because under the law, they would have been mm-hmm. they would have been breaking the law, doing something on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath, that's why the Jews actually, their Sabbath is Saturday. It's not Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday is the first day of the week, and actually Sunday mm-hmm. is really the mm-hmm. first day of the week,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, we worship on Sunday, you know, most of the time. I mean, as far as church is concerned and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Seventh-day Adventists, they worship on
Saturday. Yes.
Yeah, so do the Jews. The Jewish, mm-hmm. that's their Sabbath, it's Saturday, you know.
Friday night, yeah.
So what you're saying there, they came on the first day of the week, which was would have been
Sunday
technically morning. Sunday, you know. And that's when the resurrection took place, mm-hmm. you know.
Hallelujah.
You know.
It all falls in the
it
place.
Fall, it's right all, divine, it's all, know? So the whole, even back in the Old Testament, you'll see when I start mm-hmm. talking about it, it was all laid out. God, his plan was falling right into place. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that everything that happened, even back then, was speaking about the resurrection, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, it's his word is perfect. Nothing has caught him by surprise. You know, you look at the stuff going on over in the Middle East and all that mm-hmm. stuff. There's not a thing that's no. caught God by surprise. It's all happening according to what he's allowed it to happen. He knew it was going to happen before it ever happened. Mm-hmm. And we should pray about it and pray that God's perfect will be done in that whole situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And pray for peace, you know, because peace, he is the Prince of Peace. The only peace that will ever come into this world is when people recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord exactly. and Savior. That's the only way they'll ever do, you know, come to that place.
Well, and knowing that his perfect will be done, because he does everything according to the counsel of his own will.
That's right.
It will be done, you know. So, I mean, knowing that, like you said early on, you mm-hmm. learned the sovereignty of God.
I did. Yeah.
And it brings a peace
in
every situation.
When I first got saved, I read that scripture in Ephesians, and it just jumped off mm-hmm. the page of me. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Mm-hmm. Well, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, then basically everything that happens is working into his perfect will eventually. You know what I mean? Not necessarily right at that point in time, you know, because we don't see the whole picture.
We don't.
But he sees the whole picture from the beginning to the end. There is no time element with God.
Right. It's just,
you know,
what we
other than the fact that when the fullness of time, and when you talk about the fullness of time, that's talking about when something happened that was supposed to happen or he knew was going to happen, you know. So, I mean, it our little pea brain sometimes just don't even, it's hard for us to comprehend a lot of this stuff. But it's so simple, and that's why the wise men of this world can't figure it out, and it seems foolishness to them, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I will say this real quick while we're talking about this for just a second. A lot of people will say, well, if God's such a loving God, why would he send his son and let him die and let him do this and let him do that? Well, hopefully I will address that in this Old Testament part. You know, because if somebody's actually got ears to hear what I'll say there, it's a whole different story than what people think. You know, praise the Lord. I won't talk about it now because
it's so wonderful. Yeah.
It'll mess up my sermon. But anyway.
Buddy, did you have something?
No, I'm just agreeing.
But that's good what you said. And you know, the women, you know, women, and you got to realize when Scripture talks about women, mm-hmm. in types and shadows, it's talking about the soul. The
soul.
The soul. And the soul really has a desire to... has a desire to be in harmony with God. And the women ran there first, you know. And then Peter and them came later, you know, because they went back and they told Peter and them in another part. Mm-hmm. And then they ran back to the tomb. Well, Peter outran them all. And when he got there, he saw that the tomb was open. He went inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't mean mess up what you're saying there, but anyway. You remember that old story I told you all about? There's a tradition that they say that when Jewish people eat, there's supposed to be this tradition in the olden times that when the head of the household or whatever, if they're eating and he takes and folds his napkin when he puts it on the table, that means he's not coming back. But if you know, if it's unfolded, that means he's coming back.
Yeah.
Well, they when they went in there, they saw his napkin laying there, you know, that had covered his face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It was folded, wasn't
it? Well, I might have that in reverse. Yeah, I guess if it's folded, yeah, that means he is coming back. But if it's not folded, he's not coming back. Yeah. But anyway. So that was the tradition, supposedly. That's that little story. I mean, and you know, it was supposed to signify that he was coming back. You know.
Yeah, because the covering they had over his body was all tossing left there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you this too. Even that shroud of Turin, I've seen some things on that recently, to where supposedly they have been able to. As science keeps going on farther and farther, they find more things. And supposedly, now this is, I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly they got some DNA off of it. And it's not like anybody else's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't match it to anybody else in the world, their DNA, apparently. So,
I read too, or said that spread out and you look at it, like the body was there, was like almost like a fire, like it just went up through, went through.
Yeah, you know, it felt almost like radiation or something. Yeah.
Through the,
yeah.
Did you see the 3D image that they did of it
that
closely says approximates his look? And he was beautiful.
And the scripture I'm going to read you today will go against him being beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
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 But anyway, he had an interview, and that interview was the presence, the fullness of the presence of God inside of him.
The life.
Yeah, it was the very life. And see, you know, we have to quit differentiating Jesus and God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was God.
Yes.
He was God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have the fullness of the Spirit of God inside of you, then he was God walking around in flesh, you know. But yet, he also, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But yet, he was the fullness of God walking in flesh, you know. And you have to realize that what he really was too, he was the fulfillment of what God said when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. Mm-hmm. And they've had dominion. And I know I have to quit or I'll end up preaching you a sermon here. But that's why if you read Corinthians chapter 15, you will see what it says there about first came the natural, then came the spiritual. Well, he was the fulfillment of the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
He came. We bore the image of the earthly, the natural. It's time for us to begin to bear the image of the spiritual, which is him. The fulfillment of what God said in Genesis, let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. And when he said that as God, it was Elohim. It was Elohim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Elohim is a plural word.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls us in Psalm 82, he calls us Elohim.
When I can see some songs that's been written by mankind, and I know there's one where it talks about Mary and how she kissed the face of God because he was God.
Yeah.
And
kissed her little baby, she kissed the face of God.
Her loving, you know, him as just was still her first. Her baby, she still loved him. Mm-hmm. But I know over the years, she's accepted, I'm sure, that she was aware of his journey. You know, like when he was 12 and in the chapel, in the temple, and how he said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? Because he had the priest and all, he had them all amazed. and the questions he had and the things he was presenting to them.
Even think about, when you talk about these things, even think about how many days' journey it was that they went before they, wasn't it 12?
I believe it was 12. And they had to come back.
What's the number 12 significant of? Governmental perfection.
Yes.
See, and where was he at? He was in the temple teaching the priests, the ones that were supposed to know it all and all this stuff. And they were astounded at his wisdom and what he did. they were astounded. But yet, what did he do? He went with them and stayed in submission to them until the time that he was supposed to come forward. And he did when he was 30 years old, you know. And all is the scriptures that see a lot of people talk about, well, all these other scriptures that weren't put in there. I've heard that from a lot of different people over the years. All the other scriptures the Council of Nicaea, where they only put certain ones in the actual Bible that we use, whatever. And I will tell you this, what was put in there was what was supposed to be put in.
Yes.
that's just, because God's in control and he, he put in there what needed to be put in there. That doesn't mean that some of that other stuff isn't true. Some of it is, and some of it might not be. I don't know. But,
And isn't it possible that there is a teaching for one age that is not for another age?
Well, even some of the stuff that's in, I have some of those translations, of some of those books. And I've looked at them some. I don't really go into them too much. But, there's a lot of truths in there, and a lot of it is very good, But I know that the basic gospels that are there and the there's 66 books in the Bible, 66 books. Six is a number for what? It's a number for man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a number for Satan. it's that number. Well, 66 is out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So 66 is two sixes, Mm-hmm. And supposedly the mark of the beast is what? 666.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's supposed to be three sixes, okay? Well, we know that three is a number for, it talks about completion and it talks about resurrection and all that other stuff. Well, man will delve in the realm for most of his life where he's confused about most things. Mm-hmm. But there's coming a time when he'll come to the realization of the seven, which is the perfect number, which is God, But, there's just so many different things. And it every time you really study and God starts opening things up to you, it's just so perfect. Even the names of the places where they were and everything else, it fits right into the whole story, And we'll get into that a little bit in my sermon today, because it's a little bit, there'll be some things that I've never heard anybody talk about, a couple things, But, we'll see. But, Jesus, when they went to that tomb, you can imagine, because they hadn't come to the real revelation yet. He had told them these things. He had told them that he had to suffer and had to do this and that. He had told them on the third day he'd be perfected and all this kind of stuff. And yet they heard it, but they didn't hear it, because they had not received an awakening of the Spirit of Christ inside of them yet. Mm-hmm. But once they came to that, then he told them, he said, the time's going to come when the Spirit in you will bring all things into remembrance. You'll begin to really remember what I said, what it was about and stuff. And I'm not sure that even they knew everything. When they sent these letters out and stuff, Peter and them didn't know that was going to go in a book. They never knew that we'd see those letters, Those letters were sent to all these different places, and stuff, But that was the way it was supposed to be, you know.
You know, on the road to Emmaus, the road, I think it's United Methodist Church that has this, it's called...
They do those stations of it or something?
No, talk about Emmaus, and they get together at certain times, women's group or men's group, and they stay a whole weekend with no time, no anything. And it's not just for people that know Christ, it's those that know Christ that has sponsored someone to go and spend this, and some have given their heart. I went, I can't even think the year it was, because Tobias had went, and he sponsored and wanted me to go, to, you know.
Yeah.
And it was an experience with knowing people, right, getting to know people, get to know Christ, get to know Christ. And a friend of mine kept Savannah, because Savannah was little and I had her there. And she kept saying, Aunt Brenda went to the trip, the amazing, she never said Emmaus, she never called it that. She always called it the amazing trip. She went to amazing. And Aunt Barbara was telling me, she said, Savannah's never said it was Emmaus. She's always said it's amazing. And I said it was. I mean, because you got to experience Christ and others and them sharing their walk in Him. And it was beautiful. It was an experience. It was.
Well, one other thing on that trip of them going to Emmaus, you know, walking there. They walked and they talked and he talked with them. And it says that he expounded unto them, I guess from Revelations right on, I mean from Genesis right on up. And they didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Now how could you have been with somebody for 3 years during his ministry? Because it's, you know, I was basically, he was 30.
And it never says which two disciples it was.
Yeah. Well, I think it does tell you that it was Cleopas and somebody else. I don't know, but anyway,
it was the 12, but not of the 12.
Yeah,
no, right. Wasn't of.
But 12. But they had been around him, and, yes, and they didn't recognize him. Mm-hmm. And why was that? Because he didn't want them worshiping an image that they had seen before. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they didn't recognize it was him until what? When he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And you know, when they began to eat the dinner with him, you know. And then after that, didn't he disappear out of their sight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But see, even with that, that was, I believe that's telling you a truth there. It's telling you a truth of that. He doesn't have to appear in any certain form. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to appear in what your concept of him is, mm-hmm, or anything else. He can appear in something to where you don't even recognize him, you know, until he begins to reveal himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did to them, you know, walking down the road of Emmaus or whatever, you know. And look at John in Revelations, you know, when he turned around and he saw what he was looking at, he said his hair was white like wool, white like wool, eyes like flame of fire and all. He didn't say, oh, that's Jesus. You know, he had to tell him, he had to tell John that he was Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean. Oh, even when they get so at the tomb and they thought he was the gardener.
Right.
And you know, Mary, but then she wept. Where did they take him and was weeping? And he asked, why are you? And she was, and she didn't recognize him.
Right.
And then until he allowed himself to be appear unto him.
I think it was also the fact that she still wasn't fully convinced. She said, where have they taken him? As though the God did steal the body. And they were coming to anoint the body, you know? The resurrection, although he had said it, it was cloaked when he said it to them. They didn't have ears to hear.
Right.
And Jesus knew that. He knew they wouldn't fully understand.
Yeah, his word never returns void. The word he had spoken to them, it went down inside of them. But it hadn't come to the surface. It was like when a couple of weeks ago when I talked about, you know, when Elijah went down to Zarephath, mm-hmm. and the woman down there, who God told Elijah, I've spoken to a woman down there to sustain you, mm-hmm. and he went down there, and she didn't say, oh yeah, you know, God told me that the other day. No, it was an inner thing,
yes.
And I'm sure she didn't even know why she was making him that cake. I'm sure she didn't, because she didn't say, oh yeah, you know, God told me I was going to make you a cake. No. And the thing about the Spirit of God inside of you, when he puts something inside of you, it's there. Mm-hmm. And it's not going nowhere. It's there. And when the time is right, it comes to the surface when it's supposed to, you know.
People, when they, I've heard, like, prophesy over you and give you a word, many, there's a witness, uh-huh. you know, and when someone is speaking like you speak, there's a witness,
yeah.
of him, and yeah.
Well, see, that's where I believe, that's where I will tell people, basically, whatever I say to you, if I say something to you and it doesn't witness to you, let it go. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. If it's of God, it will come back in the time, yes. when it's supposed to come back. Mm-hmm. And Brother Eddie used to say, put it on the shelf. And that, I mean, that's a way of letting it go. You know, you set it up on the shelf, you know. And remember that song that he used to sing? When I come to the end of myself, yes. there'll be no broken what? Vessel sitting where?
On the shelf.
On God's shelf. All men free and all men see. That he's all that's left.
Yes.
When I come to the end of myself. Mm-hmm. And see, that's a wonderful song because it's really true, yes. you know.
Yeah,
and
that's what God is doing, self. Bringing to
us. See, self is...
Says another.
Self is, it has to get out of the way, yes. you know, and the whole thing. Because self will begin to question everything of God and the things of God to the natural man sound like foolishness. Mm-hmm. They're foolish. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, somebody could possibly say, well, why did God have to do that? Why didn't he just zap people? Or, you know, you know, he did it the way he wanted to do it because he wanted to do it that way, and we just need to roll and flow with it.
That's so true. Because we're in the world.
Yeah.
But we are not of this
not
world.
Not of it. Not of it.
And
we have to remind ourselves of that a lot, yes. because you get caught up in the things of this world, you know, and
it blinds you.
It does, and it will cause you to go a wrong path. Usually, take the wrong path, you know.
I know it's not something that's in the scriptures, but I'm always reminded. Whatever you see, react. I mean, observe. Mm-hmm. But save your reaction, hold it, and dwell on it, and let God speak to you about yeah. it. Don't react to everything.
Yeah.
You can't. Things that you see, like you said, the things of God sound ridiculous to the Adam nature.
Natural man.
And some of that's there. And so I say it. I mean, I know it, but I don't always do it.
Well, right, and we're all in that position, yes. where we know a certain amount of truth, mm-hmm. but we don't always totally function in it. And you know what? There's coming a time when we will totally function in it. You know.
That's where the soul. I always think the yeah. soul is the place where the processing is happening.
Right.
The spirit is is all in all, and man is at enmity with God. But in the middle of our Adam nature and God, there is the soul. And the soul is where the processing has to happen for us to come into subjection to the spirit and to reject the actions of Adam. And that's where, when our soul, that's where we have to find peace and allow the silver to be purified and to allow the fire to purge. And to do all that stuff, it all happens where? In our emotions, in our intellect, and in our will.
Yeah. Well, remember years ago I taught on this, and I haven't taught it for a long time, but I'm thinking it's in Isaiah, but that's not Isaiah. It might be in Isaiah. But anyway, I talked about Tyrus, mm-hmm. and I talked about where God began to describe what was going on. And you mentioned something about the basil and stuff a couple weeks ago. You know, and the basil is something that holds the gem, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's not the gem, but it holds the gem. Mm-hmm. And anyway, in that whole scenario there, it talks about him being the anointed cherubim that covereth. Mm-hmm. Well, in the Ark of the Covenant, there was two cherubim. And they spread their wings over the Ark of the Covenant. And where did God appear? In the Old Testament. He appeared between two natures. Mm-hmm. And the word cherubim means, it's the actual meaning of the word cherubim. The actual definition of that word is not angel, it's not angelic being, it's imaginary figure. Imaginary figure. And one side of the cherubim is the nature of Tyrus. The other side of the cherubim is the nature of Christ. And the mind of Christ, what does Scripture say? It says, we have what? The mind of, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And what does Scripture say? We have the mind of Christ. Now it also says in the natural that all the evil type stuff comes out of the imagination of man, you know. I mean, let's face it, these bombs that are blowing up over in the Middle East and all this stuff, some man sat down sometime and began to imagine that in his brain. Yep. And if I do this and I do that and I do something else, I can create this rocket and it's going to explode and it's going to kill people and blow things up, you know, that imagination. And yet, between those two natures, I honestly believe, because he told him he was the anointed cherubim that covered until iniquity was found in him. I believe that's the way he put it. I'm just quoting it as much as I can remember right off the end. Huh?
Who are you saying was the anointed cherubim?
Tyrus.
All right.
And Tyrus was a type of man. I'll have to preach a sermon on that again sometime. All right. But, you know, God showed me a lot of things in there.
Is Tyrus and Cyrus two different people?
Two different people. Oh. Tyrus.
Yeah, but that's where Tyrus, the man has got
Tyrus was King Tyrus, and he was all about getting stuff, mm-hmm. getting money, getting all this. He was all about that. What's the nature of man?
That's exactly it.
Spend all your time.
Yes.
You know, comforts. What's the first thing you ask when you go to a job? How much am I going to get? What's your benefits? Mm-hmm. You got a 401k, you got this, you got that. You know, am I going to walk out of this company rich or am I going to walk out of this company poor? you know what I mean? And you know, that's the nature of man, you know. But a lot of those things are just, you know.
But you can see where man has taken, where they try to say that Satan was an angel and all. But I can see where they've taken that also, but that's where Tyrus.
God.
Because God. He was created as he was.
It ain't very cool. I don't mean that in a nasty way, but I get at home.
Yeah, get fist faster like that.
And nobody's here but me.
The anointed cherubim that covers. Where is that at? Ezekiel, okay, 28.
And when my kids can live, to say, oh, Mom, there's nothing wrong. People are just too busy. That's wrong. You might be busy, but think, you talk. I would have loved to hear you.
you can't afford it. That's our problem. We can't.
Okay.
They can't. My son and them can't afford everything that I need because we don't have money. Electric and gas and food. I did say to my kids, call me sometime, or you know, stop by. Mm-hmm. They don't have time. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're trying to hurt me, mm-hmm. but they just, this and that. But I don't understand that. I sit by myself 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Nobody talk to me. Mm-hmm. They won't buy me. Mm-hmm. They don't say nothing. And they never stop by. Five kids.
Yeah. And yet God is always with you, Etta.
Right.
Maybe I'm asking for too much.
Mm-mm. Well, let me ask
you. Try it sometime. Go home. Finish here. And don't see nobody for weeks at a time. And you call out to somebody. Jim, he bring me to church. Mm-hmm. You don't know how many times I asked to come to church. Don't have time, Mom. Don't have money, Mom. Mm-hmm. I need money. And what is money? Well, to somebody that's like me, I just been to the hospital again. Five days. Had my heart worked on. Had this work done. I've had more things go wrong with this body than you can think of. Mm-hmm. I never was sick when I was, I didn't think I was. I was small, or just 5 years ago. If you know somebody, don't. I can't walk. I can't hear.
Well, that's probably why people don't call you, sweetie. I know lots of people who have tried to call you and
go see somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Take time out of your life.
Yeah.
And your life. Mm-hmm. To somebody that don't have a life. Now, I don't. I'm not saying, come and see me, don't, you know, I can't talk to you. Mm-hmm. But a friend, a neighbor, anybody. Mm-hmm. Go see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't know what it does to somebody. They had a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just go see him.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We think about you. Yes, we do.
We pray. You get mentioned a lot, and we pray for you a lot.
We pray for you a lot.
Mention it. We do pray for you a lot. And if we're welcome to come and see you, maybe we'll come and see you. You know, we know that you live with your son, and if he's okay with us stopping by to see you once in a while, we'd probably do that, okay?
You don't know what it does to somebody. I will myself outside.
Oh, yeah, on your front porch?
And stay on my porch.
Let's say a little prayer for Etta, can we?
Sure.
Let's do that, and we'll go on, okay?
But, see the cars go by.
Yeah.
One day, I thought, oh, this is like, I'm going to wave the people. You know, mm-hmm. When they go by, just wave mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Not one person lift their hand to wave back in their car.
Okay.
Yes.
I said, well,
you pray for them.
Yes, we'll have to get her address.
Yeah. Do we have and her address? And you sit pretty far back from the street, too.
Do we have her address?
I don't know.
We do.
I know where she lives, but
we need to
I don't
get
know
her address.
The address. What's your address?
Yes.
Don't.
It might be on the board, is it?
I don't know if it is or not.
We'll get it, Etta, and we're going to pray for you. We'll pray when we get out in the service.
Right.
That mm-hmm. God is going to bless you with friends
but,
that come.
The hospital. Go to see somebody in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to close now. We're going to pray and go into the next all service, right. But we'll be praying for you, thinking about you, and we're going to
We'll make
change.
Sure we put that address on yes. the bulletin board. We'll get
yeah,
it on there.
Because I always send
Believe
the
me.
Cards. I still send yeah. the guide all the time.
We'll live through it. I should have gone a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed, God, yeah. I'm ready. Come and get me.
Yeah.
In his
Even
time.
God said, no, not your time.
Yes.
See you later.
Well, he does things in his time,
yes,
that's for sure.
He does. Yes,
God
for
can
sure.
be as cool as a human being.
And Mike, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Yes.
So,
would you?
Father, thank you for this day.
Yes.
Father, thank you for having Etta here today.
Thank you.
Yes.
She is our friend.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask that you bless her and bless the service as we go forward. And we give you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give everything to you.